this is Vic Mignogna from Full Metal Alchemist, Edward Elric. And just like these crazy hosts of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, I am a total anime addict!
Listen to Ready, Steady, Go by Lark and Seal. It is the intro theme to Full Metal Alchemist, and it seemed appropriate since Vic did our intro tonight to use a Full Metal Alchemist song, since that's what one of the things that he's best well known for.
Yay, Vic! Yay. Thank you, Vic, if you ever listen to this.
Yes, thank you, Vic. You are a good sport and a true anime fan. Tonight we have a new host joining us, Hatake, so please say hi, Hatake.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Hatake.
Hello.
Hatake is our resident master of fan fiction and dubs. So...
you could say that.
Oh, shucks.
For those people who, you know, don't want to read when they're watching anime.
Do you know that's the top complaint? People actually say that. They're like, I don't want to have to read while I'm watching. Subtitles? Ew. It's like... what about the beautiful Japanese language?
Guilty as charged.
I think eventually people figure out that a lot of dubs are bad, and even if the Japanese voice acting's bad, I think it's a lot harder for English speakers to tell because we don't. Well, for the most part, people.
Well, we can talk
Japanese.
About this during our main discussion.
Okay.
But, for anyone just joining us, I am Chiaki, and
my name is Mitsugi,
and I'm Valentine.
So.
And it's a pleasure to have you guys. We have a great show tonight. We have some interesting news to talk about, and after the news, we're going to go into Hatake's section about dubs and fanfiction, so we think you'll enjoy that. And perhaps the most exciting thing that we'll talk about tonight is the fact that Chiaki is getting ready to leave for Japan in less than a week.
Holy snapple.
And so we
haven't packed.
who packs before the night before, honestly?
Yeah. Seriously.
No one does. It's ridiculous.
Well, I do need to wear my clothes before they go into my suitcase. That's my logic.
And so
walk around in a bathrobe for the last 2 days.
And so Chiaki will be our resident Japan
correspondent.
Hopefully we'll have some interesting adventures and exciting things. And so,
oh, I'm sure you will.
So Chiaki is going to talk about tips for heading to Japan and the things that you need to know when you're heading to Japan. And then, of course, we're going to do impressions and reviews, and we have 5 tonight. So we hope you enjoy that, and that's the show, so...
I always love how we say tonight, and people can listen to it any time
of the
day.
Well, they know. You guys, just in case you were wondering, we're recording really early tonight. We usually are up at, like, 2:30 in the morning recording your podcast, and it's, like, 9:22 right now.
I guess I picked a good podcast to jump in on.
That's right.
Hey, well, the school year started, so...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so news. I really want to hear about what Hatake has to talk about, so...
Well.
Yeah.
I'm rubbing my hands together.
You should be.
I'm excited.
This is excited. Okay. So, just announced was a Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorns anime debut. All right, so...
Hang on a sec. Wait, I'm saying, Mobile Suit Gundam what?
Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn! Okay.
Wait a second. It sounded like you said unicorn.
Did you say unicorn?
Unfortunately, yes.
For everyone who was ever watched Mobile Suit Gundam and thought, you know what those Gundam need?
A unicorn horn.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Of course. An anime adaptation of this light novel has been announced for spring 2010. The novel begins in UC-0001, yay years, at the very beginning of human space colonization, with the Laplace incident, a major event that influences the course of human history forever. The main story takes place in UC-096. 3 years after the events of Mobile Suit Gundam Char's Counterattack, so hopefully you fans will be familiar with that. But get excited, because maybe they'll make Mobile Suit Gundam Rainbow or Mobile Suit Gundam Marshmallow.
Gumdrops.
Puppies.
Yes.
Puppy love. Yes. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that UC-0001, I think that might stand for Universe Calendar.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think
sense.
It is.
Not really sure,
That's
but...
That's pretty cool.
All right, so
yeah, so we can all
look out for the slightly gay and phallic Gundams. You can cut that out if you want, but I had to say it.
You don't. We did just do our hentai episode.
We did
episode 5.5, but you know, if you can't handle that, then you just made up for it. So
okay, so
another piece of news.
Well, I wanted to do this segment because I've spent a lot of time, unfortunately, playing an MMORPG that probably many of you are familiar with.
Has three letters.
The last time I checked, it was like 24 days, and that's not even such a big deal for a lot of people. But
anyway,
onto our news. Some of us are pretty elite, like undead rogues. But anyway, moving on. Okay, so
for the horde.
Yes, for the horde. Yeah, I don't want to hear about it. Listeners, don't want to hear about it. Don't write about it on the forums. I will just shoot you down. Okay, so basically, Dragon Ball, which it makes perfect sense considering that, like, everybody and their mama, it has, like, an MMORPG right now, which, by the way, is massively multiplayer online role-playing game, in case you didn't know that.
It's the longest acronym ever.
It is. It is pretty long, and you can't pronounce it MMORPGs. So you have to say MMORPG, which seems to kind of defeat the purpose. But anyway, Dragon Ball has released an MMORPG, which is really cool.
Or is releasing.
Is releasing.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yes, very important, because they actually have just put out a trailer. They have this in the works. They're working on it with a Korean and Japanese country, because obviously Dragon Ball is Japanese. And they are planning to have a story that actually takes place a long time after Dragon Ball. 250 years after all the characters that you're familiar with, but they say that they're very much trying to preserve the original feel of Dragon Ball, so hopefully you'll be able to, like, you know, pwn people with, like, lasers that come out of your hands. Not that they're really lasers, but, like, spirit bombs and stuff and awesomeness. The general idea is that the world that you are living in as this Dragon Ball character is at peace, and then there are invaders, just like what we're so familiar with.
Of course.
They're probably alien invaders, and they probably want to
kill Goku.
Kick you. They probably want to grind your face into the ground with their feet. In a nice way.
Can I say something real quick? I wanted to say that regardless of what Akira Toriyama character designs you're looking at, whether it's Dragon Quest or whatever it is, you're going to notice it's Dragon Ball. But the point I wanted to make was that I swear that's Piccolo in the back.
I think it is Piccolo.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think that probably they're gonna still keep their original idea there,
well,
so everybody recognizes what it is. They're not gonna have just, like, random people and be like, yeah, Dragon Ball.
You
here
know
it is.
You know why it's Piccolo, though, is because the Namek's live a really long time.
Yeah.
Do you remember Guru from Namek?
I think it's Namekians, by the way.
Well, they
the
can
Namekians.
Be Namek's.
The Namekians live a long time. I think Guru is, like, 800 years old or something.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
So, and
that's
Piccolo is my
cool.
favorite character.
Piccolo is awesome.
So who cares?
Piccolo
is
my favorite too, except for Vegeta.
And that's definitely Goku in the front, just so you know.
Yeah.
With a haircut.
No.
He has extra spikes.
He's,
yeah.
I think he has, like, white on his...
That's
well,
just the lighting.
Pretty old.
Okay, you're right. No.
I'm
not old, he's a baby. And I think you're right. I think it's just light. So anyway, yeah, that's my news. It is actually pretty cool, because, yeah, obviously there's been a huge surge in demand for MMORPGs, and everybody wants a piece of that because of how successful World of Warcraft has been. And Dragon Ball just seems like a really appropriate title if you're going to do that. So I think that that's cool. I'll be interested to see how people respond and whether they like it or not.
Okay, so my piece of news is Tomoki Kyoto and Bones' alternate retelling of their Eureka 7 television anime. The series will play in at least 438 theaters in the United States. So the anime is getting a theatrical release, and the release is on September 24th. The anime is called...
The movie.
The movie anime of Eureka 7 is called Kokyo Shihen Eureka 7 Poketo ga Niji de Ippai. For those of you that are a fan of Eureka 7, there you go. You get to have a theatrical release, and it seems like there's a lot of these lately.
It's going
to
be in a... It's through Fathom Events, and it's going to be in any theaters, I believe, that are involved with Fathom. So I know Regal Cinemas is one of those. It's a lot. It's going to be a lot worldwide, and it's one night only. So September 24th, mark your calendars.
I think you can probably order your tickets on Fathom Events, and that's F-A-T-H-O-M. So look for them. Just Google them, and I'm sure you can probably buy your tickets on there. And they probably have a list of cities where the film's being screened, so you can... find, you know, the theater that's closest to you to see it. So,
all right. So my news is kind of appropriate given our main topic tonight. As most of you know, and what we announced, we went to Mini MegaCon this past weekend, and given our opening, we saw Vic there, and we actually went to his panel, which you'll hear more on later. But one of the things he announced, which is pretty new news that they can talk about, is that he is the voice of Spirit, or Death Scythe, for the dubbed of Soul Eater. And he also kind of... He couldn't talk about it yet. They were not letting him do so. But he kind of strongly implied that he is doing Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. So... I am not making an official announcement because I can't. I am just interpreting what I heard him say in my own way.
All right, well, I am Hatake, and I am going to talk about fan fiction with you guys.
Yay!
Because everybody loves a little bit of fan fiction.
Agreed.
Okay, well, let's see. Now, everybody usually tends to start out with fanfiction.net as their...
Main, I did.
Yeah. Show of hands. Oh, wait, you can't see us.
Hand check.
Hey.
5.5.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everyone starts out with fanfiction.net, as I was saying. But there are a lot of better sites out there for fanfiction. Some really, really well-done ones, organized, and all the stuff is, like, checked for spelling and grammar before it's submitted. One of those sites is called lunaessence.com. And it's...
Will you spell that?
I will spell
that.
Okay. It's L-U-N-A and then E-S-C-E-N-C-E.com. Okay. And you should all go there and check it out because it's amazing. And I write stuff on there, but I'm not going to tell you who I am. Because my stuff is bad. Anyway, there's another site called Freedom of Speech, and I will also spell that for you. FOS-FF.net. And that is also an edited fanfiction site, and most of the stuff is beta read, which means somebody proofread it for the artists.
I'm gonna ask, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but...
Sure.
I know, my mind's in the gutter, obviously, after that 5.5 episode.
Go on!
Do these, I mean, is there ratings that these sites do not permit, or do they just say, you know, this is what's gonna be in this fanfic? It's up to you to screen yourself.
Actually, on, I think... Luna Essence has... You have to be a member to read certain adult stories.
Okay.
All of them give
you... Is membership
you,
free?
Yes.
Okay.
Both memberships are free, and I encourage you to join, because they're really, really great sites. They need the support. I know on Freedom of Speech, they will warn you with a pop-up, depending on the age group. They're rated by age group instead of, like, you know, like, PG-13, PG. And Freedom of Speech will give you a pop-up saying, you know, if you're not 13 or over, then don't read this. If you're not an adult, then don't read this.
Yeah.
This story contains blah, 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 like sexual situations and stuff. So it's a pretty friendly site.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Sure.
What is the main draw to fanfiction? I mean, to me, I always thought of fanfiction as just additional content for people that really love, you know, for example, Naruto or something. And they run out of episodes. They've seen all the movies. They've seen all the OVAs. They've read the manga. There's nothing else for them to take in. in terms of content, and now they're turning to fan fiction
yeah.
to find more additional content. So is that the main draw of it?
That could be. That's one of the many reasons. Actually, a very, very popular genre of fan fiction right now is called reader inserts. And I'm proud to say that I've been into those since, like, 7th grade, so before they were popular. What these stories do is they will take you and insert you into the story. Their second-person point
those.
Of view. They yeah. either have name blanks or, like the Y slash N where to indicate your name, and it's usually, like, a pairing with you and the character. It's really fun. I'm kind of really into those, and I write them a lot.
Did you say it was from a first-person or a second-person perspective?
Second person, usually.
Okay.
It depends.
Really cool.
I've seen some third person, but yeah, it depends on the authors
yeah.
or author.
So in other words,
I'm not sexist.
If you've ever wanted to be a hero in an anime,
or if you've ever wanted
you
to make
can.
Out with your favorite character,
or you can. There are some dirty
yeah.
ones.
If you've ever wanted to make out with Kakashi, Valentine.
Kidding. Oh yeah, Hatake hasn't. Have you heard the opening of our last session? Have you yet? Okay, we'll have to play that for you after.
I need to. Okay. I'm excited
yeah.
for this.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, and my next topic is about dubs, and speaking of which, Vic had a lot to say about the
yeah.
dubbing process at
Mini MegaCon. Yeah, someone asked a really interesting question, and we got a really interesting answer from Vic, so rather than butchering his own words, I think we should
yeah.
just let him say it himself.
Right.
Her question was about voice acting. When we're doing a show, do we actually record with other people in the same room, or are they in other rooms? Oh, it's even worse than that. They're not in any other rooms. We record alone. Exactly. Yes. That just may give you all new appreciation for watching good anime dubs and having it, and you're watching it, and you're hearing these people have a conversation, but you are now aware of the fact that they're not having a conversation. If Ed and Al were having a conversation, one of those wonderful, tender moments in Full Metal, the fact of the matter is, I probably recorded 3 weeks before Aaron did. So the challenge is to make it sound like you're talking to somebody when you're really not. Now, that's not the way the Japanese do it, though. Lucky. Those lucky Japanese, they always get the best. No, you know what? It's so much easier when you don't have to match the mouth movements. The Japanese record to what are essentially storyboards. So, like, they'll flash pictures that will represent different scenes on a screen, and the Japanese actors will know roughly how long they have to deliver a line, but they won't know, but they won't have to match any particular mouth movements. We get the finished animation, so we not only have to give a believable performance, but we have to match the very, very strict cadence and rhythm of the character's mouth movements. And it's not easy.
All right, well, that was what Vic had to say about dubbing, and it's true that it's a very, very lonely world in the voice acting career.
If you watch, you can definitely tell when that there have been some, like, difficult things that are being said in Japanese that they just have to try to fit in the best
yeah.
possible, you know, exclamation or something that works for the American version.
And that's why I find it so hard to critique dubs sometimes, because I know how tough of a process it is.
Right.
I've seen it done. And
yeah.
I just... So it's hard for me to come up with, like, a top 10 list, but I do have quite a few options here. Some of the bad dubs that I've heard... I have to say, I think the top of the list for me is Gravitation. Now, I love Gravitation to pieces. And some of the voice cast in English was okay, but there were some characters, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't really want to insult any, you know, voice actors, cough, hero. okay, the script kind of sounded like it was, like, sight read, and... There really wasn't enough emotion for that character, and I mean, I'm sure it was probably like a starting job or whatever, so I'll give him a little bit of credit. I mean, it was a good casting, but, and Yuki and Shuichi were really well casted, I think, but I must complain about some of the other cast. another one I have up there is Pilot Candidate. Now, back in the day, when I watched that, I thought it was an amazing dub, and I would brag about it, and I love the voice actors, and for some reason, on a whim, I decided to watch it a couple months ago, and the second they started talking, I just couldn't stop laughing. The punctuation of the sentences was just so ridiculous, because like they tried so hard to match the lip flaps, and it was well synced, but that was the problem. They're just so awkward.
Yeah.
But
that's really funny. Yeah, and you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but as you're talking about this, I'm just thinking, like, I used to watch a lot of dubbed anime when I was little too, before I like knew about why I shouldn't. But because if I tell people to watch something, I'll pretty much automatically tell them to try it subbed first if they can, unless they're one of those people who's just like, oh, I can't, I want to read. I'm like reading, I want to watch TV. So, but I have to say that if I watch an anime dubbed first, I get attached to the dubbed voices.
Me too.
I guess that probably happens to everybody, but like, I know that I've already talked about Fushigi Yugi like 87 times, but even when I had the opportunity to watch Fushigi Yugi subtitled, I continued to watch it dubbed because I've gotten attached to the characters with their dubbed voices, and David Hayter does the voice of Tomohome.
David Hayter.
I don't know besides that point, but it is funny though because the two main characters in Fushigi Yugi have the same voices as Lupin and the
Fujiko?
No, and the princess that he rescues
of Cagliostro.
Cagliostro, you don't pronounce the G. Sorry, just kidding. So Lupin and the princess in Castle of Cagliostro have the same voices as Tomohome and Miyaka and Fushigi Yugi, and I watched that later, and I died. But it's just, I think it's funny how that happens. I don't know if like that happens to you too. But
oh yeah, all the time.
It happens to me too. Like Utena, I'm not shy that Utena is one of my favorite animes, and the first time I watched it dubbed, because when I started getting it, I was younger, and I was still in the, I don't care, I just don't want to read, I just want to watch. And, so, yeah, even though I openly admit that the subbing is much better than the dubbing.
Yeah, especially for that one.
Yeah.
I'm crying right now.
Yeah, it's really, but, no, I almost have an equally hard time watching it subbed. It's like subbed, it's just awkward because that's not the voices I associate the characters with.
It's like it's different characters.
But then it's like the dubbed, now I realize how bad it is. So it's painful no matter how I watch it.
So I'm a little curious, Hatake, because you actually have Escaflowne down here on this list. And I haven't watched Escaflowne in a long time, but when I think of Escaflowne, I think of a beautiful 26 episode series with no filler, great story, and overall exceptional.
Yes.
So.
I agree. I think the only bone I had to pick with Escaflowne was that, no offense to Hitomi's voice actor, but her character was a little bit dry in the English dub. Like, she's a much more emotional character than they portrayed her. And the rest of the cast, like Kirby Morrow, who played Vaughn, and Brian Drummond, who played Alan, I love Brian Drummond so much, and they did great. But I think Hitomi's voice actor could have done a little bit more, but otherwise the rest of the series was absolutely fabulous.
So it's an acting issue.
Just a little bit.
Sometimes when I watch dubbing, I'll notice that they'll get the inflection. You know, the raising and lowering of your voices will be off for certain times in a conversation, and you can tell that they weren't speaking directly to another person while they recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
But so sometimes that's my issue. But in this case, it's just. You know,
I think it might have been a little bit of that too, but
especially when you have like a character that's kind of reserved, it seems like the voice actors really, really tone it down, and then they don't get any of like the emotion that's in there. And there is a lot. I mean, it's called voice acting for a reason.
Yeah.
So,
definitely agree with that. Right. Moving on to stuff like 4Kids. Now 4Kids is an entirely different subject. I never really realized how ridiculous the editing was until I started watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged,
That's actually a topic right now on the forums.
Is it really?
It is.
I need to post more on those. Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged is just amazing, and it makes me realize just how much they really edited out, like implied violence and invisible guns, really. come on, invisible guns. I'm gonna point at you and intimidate you. But yeah, and
spirit
the
gun.
Yes.
Sorry.
Except Yu Yu Hakusho was cool.
I love the spirit gun.
The spirit gun's awesome.
It is awesome.
But yeah, that's four kids. Yeah, I love you guys because you brought me stuff when I was a kid. But
I guess,
seriously,
I gotta say, I watched a bit of Yu-Gi-Oh while I was at Otakon. Oh, I disclaimed myself only because there was nothing else exciting happening at the time. It was Sunday. Sure.
A con with 40,000 people.
Yeah, you're only at
Otakon. It was Sunday. People were leaving. There were no panels I was interested in. Anyway.
And you watched Yu-Gi-Oh?
Anyway.
It'd be better to watch the cosplayers walk by.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Even in an environment like Otakon, even Yu-Gi-Oh can seem entertaining. But the dubbing is so bad on Yu-Gi-Oh that you can't even take it seriously. Like, when you're watching it, you have to just understand that this anime is basically just laughable. And if it tries to be anything else besides that, the dubbing will totally ruin it for you. Like, you have to literally remind yourself that it's just Yu-Gi-Oh. Don't put too much stock in it. You know,
I think my life on a children's card game.
I mean, I'm not talking about the dubbing or the Japanese work, but in terms of the dubbing for the English version, it was quite an experience.
I agree.
But the crowd loved it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fun to watch sometimes.
It is.
When you don't realize how ridiculous it is that people are, like, throwing their lives away for a children's card game.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you guys have any favorite voice actors? English, of course.
Steve Bloom.
Nice.
I really like Wendy Lee.
Oh.
Wendy Lee is one of the most expressive voice actresses I have ever heard, and she's in everything, and that's why.
She really is amazing.
She's fantastic, and obviously David Hayter.
I like Michelle Ruff. She's good.
Oh, Michelle Ruff is amazing.
Yeah,
she was Yoko
excellent.
In Gurren Lagann.
She's excellent, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel kind of incompetent because I haven't watched like dubs that have come out recently in a long time.
I could just pour out names, but I am at heart a Scott McNeil fangirl, and that will never change. But my second favorite is totally Sam Riegel.
Can you tell us some of the voices that they've done
for
their characters?
Oh, jeez, Scott McNeil. Oh, dear. That could take me, like, an entire day to list off every role he's done. I think he's been in everything. Everything from Hamtaro to Dragon Ball Z to to Gundam Wing, he was Duo. Beast Wars. Transformers Beast Wars. He was a Rat Trap, Dinobot, and Waspinator. What else was he? I didn't mention who he was in DBZ. He was Piccolo.
That's
in the
so
Canadian
awesome.
Dub. Yeah, he did a really good job. I kind of grew up with the Canadian voice actors.
In the Canadian dub?
Yeah, there's a separate Canadian dub. And
why
it's,
is that?
Aside from the French speakers in Quebec, I don't know. Understand why they would have to redub
because,
the English.
Because they originally, it was dubbed in Vancouver, and then it was,
right.
I believe America bought it and bought the rights and dubbed it over here and didn't keep the cast, so they wanted to keep it going in Canada.
That's one thing Vic mentioned, not to get too far off what we were just talking about, but he was talking about the Gurren Lagann dubbing and how one company had bought it and he was supposed to be
Viral. Mm-hmm.
And then another company bought the licensing and recast everyone.
Yep.
They had like five or six episodes done, he said, but the new company just scrapped it all and started from the beginning, which, I mean, just that whole licensing craziness is crazy.
I'm happy with the cast. I love Sam Riegel as
Viral.
No,
I'm not saying anything about the new cast. I'm
just saying.
To have something licensed, to get like six episodes in and then something fall through with the licensing
that
and then have
a
whole new cast, I just think that aspect of dubbing and licensing is crazy.
Yeah, and they have to re-record so much. I've heard a lot from a lot of voice actors, and especially like American animation too. It gets recast so much, and yeah.
I can kind of see where they do that, though, because once your dubbing is, like, your stamp on what your anime is here, it's like, once the company has it, that's the face of their anime, is their dubbed actors. So, I on the one hand, I think that's really sad to be cast and then to just not be able to do something, especially if you're passionate about your character.
Yes.
But I can still kind of understand why they did it. Like, I get it, so.
So, I guess I am up now. As I've kind of announced, I'm going to Japan. I'm leaving on Sunday, and I'm going to study abroad there for a semester. So I'm going to just kind of run through some things that if you want to travel to Japan, long-term or short-term. I mean, there's going to be different considerations for each, but I'm going to try to cover just general things that you're going to want to do for both. So, I mean, the first thing that I recommend, apply for your passport if you don't have one the second you are thinking about going to Japan. I mean, really, if you're going to travel at all out of the country, you obviously need your passport. So just getting it and having one is just a great idea. And they last for like 7 or 10 years or 14 even. So it's not like something that you're going to have to get all the time. And just as a side note with your passport, new passports have a little microchip in them, which can actually be scanned. And there was a guy that did a test. He devised the scanner and he sat in an airport parking lot and he got about 20 people's private information from their passport being their back pocket. So they make special passport wallets now that will prevent that from happening and from people scanning it. So that's just something to consider if you get a newer passport that has that. If you're going to go for a longer time, U.S. travelers can go into Japan for up to 90 days without a visa. If you're going to be longer than 90 days, you need to go to your local consulate. Almost every state has a consulate. Well, maybe not every state, but a majority of the states have a consulate, but you need to go onto the website, just look like Consulate of Japan, and then it comes up on a big list on Google and find the closest one by you. And every consulate can have different rules or different things that they want from you. Some things are pretty standard, but some things are different. So check the consulate. It's going to have, you know, everything that you need to do. Like my visa, I had to fill out paperwork and I had to have a guarantor, but it's a student visa, which means I can't work and I can't operate machinery or drive a car. But it lasts for 5 years and I can enter for up to 1 year each time I go in. And the cool thing about if you apply for a Japanese visa and get one is you're eligible for the national Japanese healthcare or health insurance, which is awesome. So yeah, if you get a visa, it's pretty cheap, and if you don't have good insurance, look into that. Now for actually, when you're going over there, things you can and can't bring. This list is probably the most important thing that I will say is medications. If you're going to be there for more than a month or bring a month's worth of prescriptions, you need to have a doctor's note and or a prescription sent giving it to you, or else they're not going to allow you to take it into the country. Or it can just be a hassle to get it through customs. So get the doctor to just write a note that says this is how much you have, this is what it's for, etc., etc., and they'll let you in. The other thing that Japan doesn't allow is they don't allow you to have any narcotics, psychotropic drugs, stimulants, and codeine.
Oh, come on.
Which...
No psychotropic drugs?
Okay. Well,
what am I going to do with my mushrooms?
I know. Alright, well, I know that sounds crazy, but the thing is that what that translates out to is it is illegal to bring into the country or have on your person in Japan Tylenol Cold, NyQuil, NyQuil Liquid Caps, Acetafed, Sudafed, Advil Cold and Sinus, Dristan Cold, No Drowsiness, Dristan Sinus, Strix Toral Sinus, Vicks Inhaler, or Lomotil.
An inhaler?
Inhalers are actually something that's very hard to get into Japan.
Wow.
Okay, so you can take that entire list and just say cold and cough syrup.
Yeah, basically, cold and cough syrup.
Because it usually has codeine in it.
Yeah, because it has codeine in it.
And dextromorphine.
So, yeah.
The drug that everyone, yeah.
So, I mean, this list can change, but that is something that you really need to look into because, you know, the last thing you want to do is get arrested on your trip to Japan. As far as money, you don't really need to report or worry about taxes unless you're bringing over 1,000,000 yen on your person into the country, which
how
if
many,
you are.
What is that, like $10,000? Because I know that you can put the decimal point like 2 over.
So, I mean, if you are a drug dealer and you're trying to smuggle in a large sum of cash, you could run into a problem. Alcohol and tobacco, you have to be over 20. You can bring up to 500 grams of tobacco without taxes, which is like 400 cigarettes. And then you can bring in 3 bottles of the alcohol. But again, you have to be over 20 to bring it into Japan because 20 is the legal drinking age over there. But remember, it's 21 here, so when you're leaving the country, you're still illegally carrying alcohol.
So when you're leaving the country, chug all of your alcohol in the airport.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm sorry. Because how else are you going to get through a 14-hour flight?
Okay, alright. So, if, oh my. So, if, I don't smoke, but if somebody smokes, should they just wait and buy their cigarettes in Japan?
No, I mean, like I said, you can bring tobacco, you can bring up to, like, it's something ridiculous, like 300 cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Japanese have cigarettes, so unless you're going for, like, 6 months, and you want to bring a specific brand... And I don't even think it's that you can't bring it, I just think you have to report it and pay taxes on it. That's just a limit for untaxable. Yeah, items must be under 200,000 yen to avoid taxes, which is about $2,000. Food, you can't bring anything fresh, but if it's like canned or dried fruit, but it's sealed in its original packaging, or other processed foods that like processed by, you know, like chips in their bags, that's okay. I generally just stay away from foods when going through customs because it just makes things a hassle. When you're actually in or another thing is requesting money, request it in exchange at the bank, not at the airport. The airport will have like a lot of fees and will take your money. So do it at the bank here and over there. The exchange rate right now is 94.5 yen to the dollar. It's gone. That exchange rate has gone down in our favor, or in their. It's gotten worse for us over the years.
And we should probably say that that's the spot rate on Monday to the 24th of August.
Yes, that can change every day. And things are expensive in Japan. The bullet train from Osaka to Tokyo is about $120 US, so it's not going to be a cheap trip. Housing accommodations when you're over there. This is for Tokyo, I was recently checking. Hotels in the city are $150 a night. But there are the tube hotels, which are now, they have floors for men and women, and those are cheaper at $45 a night, and then they have things called guest houses, which are really cheap. They're only like $20, $25 a night, but they're like dormitory style, but they have, you know, female and male type rooms and stuff, and Japan is a very, very safe country. I'd almost venture to say safer than America in many ways.
It's much safer than America.
So, I mean, if you're worried about being a traveler, you know, you are in a foreign country. You do need to be alert. You do need to be careful. There are unwholesome people no matter where you're going to go. Of course, tourists and touristy areas are going to be targeted more than native Japanese. But if you're concerned about staying in a tube hotel or dormitory-style hotel, I mean... Like I said, Japan is a safe country, so just consider that when walking around.
If you, sorry I jumped in, but if you take the, if you look at the list of countries arranged in order of number of murders per 100,000 population, Japan is the fifth safest country in the world, and one of the reasons for this is because carrying guns in Japan is illegal. In fact, it's illegal to even own a gun. Yeah, the only types of guns that are legal in Japan are hunting rifles. In order to own a hunting rifle, not only do you have to take a test every single month in order to keep your license, but you also have to pay a large fee to have it.
Yeah.
So it's very uncommon to see guns in Japan.
I mean, even most police don't carry guns.
Yeah, police don't carry guns. And if you do see guns in Japan, you probably should stay away from that person. And normally if there's a gun killing and there's only like 10 a year, you know, as opposed to the United States where there's like 10 every hour.
Yeah.
It normally makes national news because it's such a big deal.
Yeah.
So,
I mean... Out of all the countries to travel to, Japan is a very safe country. And then two more things that I just want to mention. One thing that I suggest to everyone, and I'm going to suggest this no matter what country you're going to go to, but learn some basic Japanese. I mean, obviously, you know, you're not going to, unless you're amazing, you're not going to be able to be a person who's going to become, you know, exceptional in Japanese in the couple months before your trip, but learn how to say thank you, learn how to say please, learn how to say, you know, where's the bathroom, how do I get there, left, right, basic words. And the Japanese people, from what I've heard, are very flattered when you speak Japanese, even if it's poor Japanese. They're very flattered and they're very impressed that you're making an attempt. And if you're worried about that, many, many Japanese people know English very well. So, yeah. if you're in an urban area, you're going to be able to find someone who speaks enough English to help you get around.
That can be kind of a problem, too, if you're trying to learn a little bit of... If you're trying to practice your Japanese in Japan, if you try to talk to a native Japanese person, and they're obviously going to know you're American or English or whatever, but they will try to speak to you in English, because they want to practice their English on you.
Yeah.
So... You know, if you're trying to practice your Japanese, what you've got to do is just be very tough with them and continue to speak in Japanese even though they're speaking to you in English, because, you know, that you're going to get that a lot.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about was just kind of something fun. I'm going over there, like I've said, to study abroad a semester. I'm going to Kansai Gaidai, which is in Osaka. But one of the head of the international programs at my school was sitting with me and the three other people who are going, and we're the first year for the program, so the school is very paranoid about one of us doing something horrible and messing the whole thing up.
Well, and that already happened.
Yeah, and that already happened once at our school. So, yeah. But, so she was talking specifically to the boys. Dating is very different in Japan. The mentality is you get to know someone in a group, you know, in a group setting, and then once you go out on a one-on-one date, you're essentially boyfriend and girlfriend. Whereas here, you know, we have the one-on-one date, they don't work out, not gonna call back the next day, we're all good. Like, everyone kind of is on the same page. But if you go out one-on-one with a member of the opposite sex and go on a quote-unquote date or even pseudo-date, you're pretty much dating. They don't have the same kind of casual interpretations of dating and sex that Americans do, which it might be a bit looser with the younger generations, but it's still something to consider if you're going over there and, you know, you want to pick up a hot man or woman. So
I was gonna say, does that make it much easier for me to get a Japanese boyfriend?
Count me in.
Just be like, no, I'll just trick him into taking me out alone. I'm just kidding.
From what I've heard about,
I'm not.
From what I've heard about men in Japan, the women oftentimes get very frustrated because the men are so shy that it's nearly impossible to get a guy to make a move.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to answer your question, probably not.
Yeah, that's because Mitsugi is actually the only one of us thus far. Obviously, Chiaki will know soon, but Mitsugi has spent some time in Japan, so he, when he says these things, he knows from personal experience. So,
yeah.
And I, very interesting. A lot of stuff I did not know.
Yeah, and I mean, just, like I said, no matter what you're traveling for, if you're traveling for work or school or just for pleasure, everything is going to be a bit different, and you're going to have to look into things, but you know, get ready for, it's, for me, it's, I'm flying out from Orlando, Florida at 6:30 in the morning, and, it's a 5-hour flight out to San Fran, and then it's a fun, like, 15 or 16-hour hop across the Pacific, so bring lots of reading material.
Lots of manga.
Yeah, bring manga, but, yeah, I mean, hopefully, I think it's every anime fan's dream to at some point go to
the mothership.
The mothership.
Our motherland.
So I'm sure I'll have more information when I get actually over there, but I am staying with a host family and I'm very excited to meet them, and I'm sure I will have lots of fun stories of today I did this and then I was embarrassed.
Well, we're gonna expect that from you, so
we look forward to it.
My host family was in Paris.
Yes.
You need to walk around with like a pen and be like, okay, 8:30 a.m.
Dear diary.
Captain's log, 8:30 a.m. Subway train, Ueno Station. Embarrassed myself.
Oh,
talk about later.
That actually reminded me. I have a blog. It's on my bio on the main page, but I'm not very good about blogging. So, I mean, I think I only have about 4 posts, so I'm sorry. But I'm actually going to be very diligent about keeping a blog. So if you're interested in my more day-to-day endeavors, beyond what I talk about on the podcast when I'm in Japan, check out that blog. And I'm sure I will post all the lovely, gritty details there.
Explicit details.
So those are our main topics, and of course now we return to what we do every week, our impressions and reviews, spoiler-free, as you love them.
Well, as spoiler-free as possible.
Yeah, as spoiler-free as possible, but...
So, I know it seems like, especially me, I am very hard on anime every week, but that's because a lot of anime stinks right now.
Especially because you've seen a lot of anime, so you have a lot to compare it to.
So, I gotta say, I finished an OVA over the weekend called Dogs. Howling in the Dark, or whatever the hell.
But, I want to see that.
Alright, ready? It was my 300th anime.
Yay!
Golf clap.
So I finally made it.
That's pretty impressive.
And that doesn't really include the ones I've seen half of or whatever, but that's just... Anyway, so moving on.
Awesome.
The first anime I'm going to talk about is horrible. I could just stop now and just tell you not to watch it. But I feel like because I have suffered through this anime for 20 episodes,
plus now everybody's intrigued.
I feel like I have to discuss it because if I don't, it means all my suffering was in vain. Basically, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
This anime is called Basquatch.
Basquatch.
And it's one of the worst animes I've ever seen. So, Basquatch is a basketball mecha anime.
Oh,
and
like Sasquatch.
Yeah. I don't even know what a Basquatch is.
It's basketball and Sasquatch.
Oh, it Basquatch.
Hurts. Yeah, basketball and Sasquatch. It's like basketball Bigfoot.
Well, anyway.
That's
what it is.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm sorry, Mitsuki. I seem to be interrupting you a lot tonight. I apologize.
I interrupted you too.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
So, Basquatch, I thought it was going to be pretty good in the beginning. It had an interesting premise. I know we just laughed at mecha basketball, but it hasn't been done before to my knowledge. And I always talk about how anime has to be unique, otherwise I think it's boring. But it has very vibrant colors. It looks very nice. But the main plot premise of the anime is that on the planet called Earth-Dash, and I know that's not a very original name, but deal with it, its inhabitants gaze on its moon and the technologically advanced lunar city of Moon Eyes with awe. Don J.D., a boy living in Rolling Town on Earth-Dash's surface, gets caught up in Bigfoot basketball, a fast-paced sport played with giant Bigfoot robots. Thank you, Anime News Network, for that lovely plot summary. Once you hit episode 4 of this anime, you're going to realize that it's pretty much one big Nike ad.
I pointed this out.
This anime is actually sponsored by Nike. And they really mean it because literally the Nike swoosh is all over this anime. It's on all the basketballs.
It's in the opening.
It's all over all the mecha. It's on their shoes. They actually use Nike shoes to just... I feel like it's just a big publicity stunt.
It's ridiculous.
Not even the game of Basquatch, which is or Bigfoot basketball or whatever the hell. It doesn't even make sense. The game's ridiculous. These robots are like playing basketball in the city, but they end up destroying pretty much every city they play in. I mean, it isn't like they play in a stadium meant for these mechs. They end up wrestling around and destroying half the city's buildings. It's just idiotic. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it other than it's basically like a wrestling match in the city, and then there's like one basketball hoop randomly placed somewhere. But also, the characters are very shallow. Dan JD, the main character, he looks like a shorter Yu-Gi-Oh. He's got like this fiery red hair with like random bits of yellow in it, and he's got this weird little creature that like sits on his head the whole anime. It's just really, really ridiculous.
Really, Nike was just like, we want to make an anime. Those kids like those Pokemon things. Add some of those.
Dude, it's the resident furry. Every anime has to have a resident
this
furry.
This anime has like six of them.
Well, they're
at
not
least
even,
one.
They're not even cool, though.
Oh, wait.
Furry's a bad name.
I almost forgot. There's this one female character, and I know we just talked about boobs in the last episode, but this lady has like double H size boobs.
They look like the artist just drew circles on her chest.
The reasoning is because they said that because she comes from the moon, there's no gravity on the moon. So even though she has like double H-size boobs, her breasts stick out like rockets.
Whoa.
They're like big beach balls just Velcro through her chest.
But she
unbelievable.
Can stand on Earth gravity.
Yeah, honestly. But the plot line boils down to basically very episodic single basketball matches, and that's about it. The formula is episode starts, you get kind of an introduction into whatever city they've traveled to. Then there's a basketball game, it takes about 3 minutes, and then that's it. And then there's really no story beyond that. So with
this
that
anime is terrible.
It's pretty terrible. I say run far, far away.
It's
and don't
horrible.
And don't look back.
No, this is what happened. The anime got cancelled or something.
No, the director changed.
The director changed, and so Mitsuki was thinking that, hey, this is just gonna be a 12-episode series, I can tough it out. And then he found out it was 24 episodes, so every single time he began weeping, he's like, I have another episode. And he suffered through it. He gets to get, like, a medal. It's horrible. I'm sorry.
Yeah. With a Nike logo on it.
Yeah.
Every time a new episode gets posted on Anime Suki, I die a little inside. But normally I recommend an anime like this to people who like sports anime, but I just can't. Yeah, I don't recommend it to anybody, so... When I finish it, I'm sure I'll give it a hentai rating, because that's about all it deserves. So the second anime I'm going to talk about is Taisho Yaku Musume. And I'm really big on the sports anime lately. It's pretty much all I watched all summer. But in the year 1925, which is year 14 of the Taisho period, there are these girls who are basically told that they have no other purpose in life but to become housewives. And, you know, they go to school and then they have, and then being a housewife is what they had to look forward to forever because it's the 20s in Japan. But these kids, these two 14-year-old girls, they want to start a baseball team in order to prove the guy wrong who told them that. And the anime has a very interesting premise. You know, it's a baseball sports anime, but it's also about women and, you know, becoming, you know, showing men that they can also play basketball. You know, however you want to phrase that. Normally, mm-hmm. baseball anime are just about the pitcher who throws, like, the 175-kilometer fastball, but... I mean, obviously, the girls in this anime, they're not very good at baseball. It's pretty neat to see them develop their skills, and I think the approach that they take is very unique, and I'm really enjoying it so far, but I am kind of worried about it, because I think it's only 13 episodes long, but because it's gotten off to a bit of a slow start. I mean, all they really do is practice and do some practice matches with other teams, and the anime is already on its 7th episode, so it's already more than halfway finished. But they really haven't done anything, and I'm really kind of worried that, you know, it's going to end and they won't really have done much. Yeah. So I won't really know until I finish it, but I think people should probably give it a try. And, you know, if it looks like it's your cup of tea after the third or fourth episode, then, you know, keep watching it. If you don't like it, then stop watching it. But
Honestly, it sounds like an animated version of League of Their Own, if anybody's seen that movie.
I have not.
It's the same premise.
Oh, really?
And it was a really good movie, so I imagine the anime would be amazing.
It's pretty good. I mean, yeah. it's the animation style is very cute.
Okay.
I mean, it's not overly cute like Kanagi or something like that, or
Higurashi?
Lucky, or like Lucky Star. Oh God. But it's pretty good.
It is cute. Yeah.
So that's it for my impressions, and since I also have a review, I'm gonna go ahead and do that before I hand it off to somebody else, just so it's, you know, flows a little better. I am also gonna review another baseball anime. And
he warned you guys he was into sports animes.
This is probably the last one I'll review ever. But it's called Big Wind Up, and the Japanese name is Okiku Furikabute. And this is a really kind of an interesting series also, because the pitcher, you've got this main pitcher, the main character, his name's Mihashi. And unlike most sports anime where you have the main character who's very confident, he's very talented, you know, he's very cool, Mihashi doesn't really have any of these traits. He's pretty much this wimpy guy who cries a lot. It's kind of strange, you know. He has pretty much no power behind his pitches, but he has really good pitching control. It's pretty much totally unlike Cross Game or Major, where the pitcher is, but like I said, he's basically this heroic guy. But, you know, the story is that at his old school, Mihashi was the pitcher on the team, but only because one of his close relatives was the head of the board of directors for the school. So they pretty much couldn't remove him from the mound, you know, and he wouldn't step down because he loved pitching so much. But as a result, this team really didn't like him very much, and there was not a whole lot of teamwork or coaching going on for him, and so they kept losing because nobody was helping him out. But he goes to this new school, and he finds a new team that he really likes, and they're very nice. And, you know, it's kind of about his transition from being a wimpy character to learning to have a little bit more confidence in himself. He never really becomes the arrogant character, but, you know, he learns to find his footing, you know, in the game of baseball. And the gameplay style is very interesting in Big Wind Up, because a lot of the baseball anime I've watched, the games are very quick. They take only 5 or 6 minutes sometimes. A lot of times there's maybe a couple montages where they just show very rapid strikeouts, the scoreboard will just very rapidly fill up, and that's how the game will run. But the last 10 or so episodes of Big Windup are all a single baseball game. There's a lot of detail in the game. They focus a lot on the signs from the coaching in between the catcher and the pitcher. And there's a lot of mentality on the catcher trying to outsmart the batters, the timing of the pitches, and all kinds of other interesting stuff. But my main complaint behind the series is that, you know, it basically flows up to a major regional tournament that the team enters, but the anime ends after the first game of the tournament, and so it really feels like they just left it hanging, you know? because you wanted to see them go to the tournament and win, you know, and take the championship or whatever. But you don't get to see anything past the first round. That's it.
That's disappointing.
And so, you know, I really enjoyed it, but I felt like it left something to be desired when I finished it. So I'm gonna give it 3.5 stolen bases out of 5. So.
In other related news, this series just got dubbed by Funimation, and the dub is pretty good. So
she knows things like this.
I noticed the ads on Anime News Network.
Yeah.
But this is another anime that I also watched. So we have 2 more anime that we would like to review for you tonight, and I'm not sure whether Valentine or Chiaki wants to go next, but they both have anime to review. So
deathmatch, rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Valentine one.
Maybe that's scissors. The
cutting. Is that a paper scissors?
it was meant to be paper,
live
but my fingers got confused. Just so everyone knows, I'm doing the flat paper, but I'm doing like the Spock.
Live long and prosper symbol.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay.
Horizontal.
Well,
no.
I think that since I won, that you should go first.
Okay. My anime was a request from someone on the forums. And yes, if you want an anime, request it on the forums or send us an email. We love to hear from you. But my anime is Welcome to the NHK. Not an exceedingly new anime. It came out 2006. It follows the story of Sato, who is 22 years old. He's a NEET, which stands for Not in Employment, Education, or Training, and a Hikikomori, which means essentially someone who has acute social withdrawal, aka they stay in their house and they never go out and they never do anything and they never want to see anyone else. So essentially he got kicked out of college and he doesn't have a job and essentially he's just a shut-in, really. So one day a girl named Misaki comes along with her aunt, and her aunt is just sending out, you know, those, like, neighborhood newspapers. And the edition was on Hikikomori, and, like, the community reaching out to them. And he goes off, like, these are the first people he's seen in forever, so he's socially awkward, and he just goes off on this rant of how he's not a Hikikomori, but then he is, but then he's not, but then he is, and then it's really almost painfully awkward to watch him do this. But so she finds out that he is, obviously, and she wants to enroll him in her project, which is going to make him not a Hikikomori. But he doesn't want to admit he is, even though he already did, so his next-door neighbor, who's a childhood friend, and believe it or not, this really is, like, all the first 3 episodes, so I promise I'm not spoiling the series, Tatsuhiro, is a game designer. And so he says, I'm not a Hikikomori because I'm a game creator. And so he begs his friend to help him create a game. But of course, what kind of game do they create? A galgame. A love game. A dating sim. A porn game. Oh, yes.
Sentai.
Yes. So it is essentially Sato and the other 2 characters, Misaki and Tatsuhiro, and essentially Sato working to overcome his neat status and his Hikikomori ways and trying to belong in social society, and they meet a number of other people from Sato's past, and it's actually, in the beginning, it's really quite funny. I was laughing out loud many times. Oh, I forgot to mention, too, where the NHK thing comes in, he believes he's like a strict believer in conspiracies, and he believes that there is the Nihon Hikikomori Kyokai, or NHK, which is a secret organization bent on creating people and making them into Hikikomoris. So that's where NHK comes in, and it's essentially a fun ride of conspiracies and crazy hijinks. Really, the 2 complaints that I had with this series was, firstly, that it's really funny in the beginning, but they repeat a lot of the same jokes over and over and over again. Like, the same things that were funny in the beginning. And eventually you're like, okay, I get it. He's a shut-in. He's socially awkward. Pick a new joke. And the story also takes a bit of a dip in the middle because it can get kind of repetitive, you know, them trying plan A to get him to not be a hikikomori, and he fails. So then it's plan B, and then it's plan C. But the story actually comes together in a rather nice way overall. And the ending wasn't terrible. It was a bit anticlimactic, I felt. But I know a lot of people really like this anime. And I don't know, I give it 3.5 NHK conspiracies out of 5. So if you're looking for a funny, relatively speaking, lighthearted anime, I would recommend this one for you. So, last anime.
Okay, so it's funny because I reviewed an anime called Boku no Hero last session, and now I'm reviewing Bakano, so I just feel, I don't know, it's just funny. But as I was thinking today about how I would describe Bakano, it's like, it's a little bit hard to explain, so I'm just going to go ahead and read you a summary that's from animesource.com. Basically, it says, Bakano, exclamation mark, is an action-packed murder mystery of the 1930s in America, which involves a pair of insane yet highly successful serial robbers, civil war in the mafia, bloodthirsty cults dressed in white, mortals from the 1700s, and above all, alchemists. Whether taking place in the gold mines of California or the mafia-infested, or it says the mafia-infested New York, aboard the haunted Flying Pussyfoot, yes, that's really the name of the train, or a lonely ship at sea in 1711, this fast-paced series links countless characters in a myriad of plots simultaneously under the single name of Bacchano, an Italian word meaning ruckus. Presented in no particular order, nevertheless chronologically, Bacchano leaves the viewers to put this story together themselves. Okay, so that is the most concise way to describe this anime, which is very appropriately named, and I'm not gonna like hide it from you. I think this anime is fantastic. It is really, really good. But it's only 13 episodes, and they managed to cram 18 main characters, like 15 extra side characters, and this really intricate plot. It's like Pulp Fiction style, where the stories overlap. There are like three main things going on with these characters. There is mafia war, and there are these really quirky, really funny robbers who are just like ridiculous.
Media.
Hi, Sasha. Ridiculous. They're ridiculous. But so that you have these three things going on, and basically they overlap. And as you watch it, it flashes back and forth between these stories. You start to piece the stuff together, and there's also in the present. A major part of the cast ends up on this train, and basically this is like the coolest part of the story, I think. They start being afraid, they're being chased by this guy called the Rail Tracer, which basically gets on trains, it follows trains and gets on trains and kills everybody, and it's kind of like an urban legend among the people on the train. And the character in Bakano that ends up actually being the Rail Tracer, not to give anything away, is fantastic. He's like my favorite. He is so cool. He's really, really cool.
All of the characters are awesome.
They're amazing. No,
they really, like, if you watch, even if you, like, you know, are not sure if you want to watch this anime, I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you, like, you know, don't have time right now, go on YouTube and watch the opening. They throw all of the characters at you at once, and it's like,
it's a jazzy, almost bebop-esque opening.
That's very much, it's very reminiscent of Cowboy Bebop. The thing about Bakano, though, that is not like Cowboy Bebop, is Bakano is extremely, it is like ultra-violent. It is really, there's torture, people lose body parts, people are shot, like, there's a scene where someone quite young gets shot in the face, and it's kind of cool, because like they mentioned, there are immortals in this, and it's neat, because all their blood just kind of sucks back into their bodies, which is, it's unusual, but it's not corny, which is really cool, but really, really, really violent, this anime, but it is still, the story is great when it all comes together. The characters are, you know, there are people who are just nuts. They're all pretty crazy, but I mean, some people are nuts, like they're psycho, some people are nuts, they're just whimsical, but this anime has one of the best casts I have ever seen. Like, it's just head and shoulders above so many other anime, and I would recommend it before a lot of things. So basically, I would give this 4.5 alchemists out of 5, easily. Really, really good. Although, if you don't have a stomach for violence, this is not for you. So, yeah.
It's, if you do, though, it's amazing.
It is
the
wonderful.
The soundtrack is also
yes,
amazing.
Yes, yes.
We actually
good.
Played the opening theme in our jazz band.
Yeah. It was awesome. But we showed it in our anime club and on campus, and if there's no one obscenely adverse to blood in your anime club, I wholeheartedly recommend this. It's a concise series that's just amazing.
That's another thing that's so impressive is that they, like I said, they managed to fit this really good series into 13 episodes, so it didn't drag out. It's just perfect. It's just like, you know, bam, 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 bam. And
thank you, ma'am.
Yes, and plus, Hitake mentioned something that I forgot. There are actually an extra 3 episodes that you can get if you buy the DVD. They're kind of like, you said they were like OVAs,
They're OVAs, yeah.
So...
yeah, that's all.
And there's also an extra character in the OVAs who is a complete psychopath and amazing.
Dude, is it OAV or OVA? Because I know they changed it.
OVA.
OVA.
Okay, just kidding. Okay. I know they were called OAVs once.
Okay, so
anyway,
that's it for our show. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I have like the 3 small tidbits. I promise 3 small. Firstly, Mini MegaCon photos up on the website. There's a spot on the news telling you how to get to them, but it's under Host Multimedia Mini MegaCon. And then 2, if you're looking for more ways to listen or subscribe to us, we are on Mevo.com. It's essentially http://aaapodcast, just like our website, .mevo, MEVIO.com. So all of our episodes are on there and will be on there, so you can watch them there in full, and not like on YouTube where they're cut into parts. Not that I have any problem with YouTube, but yeah, just letting you all know that.
So you can also reach us on YouTube. I think probably the most preferable means of reaching of listening to us is on iTunes, simply because iTunes is, in my opinion, probably the best way you can listen to podcasts.
Definitely.
Yeah,
but our main website is aaapodcast.com, and on there we have a forum, and we have a contest running every week where we have a trivia question. And speaking of the trivia, nobody got it this week, even though the question was immensely easier than last week's. Also, we have made a new acquaintance in the Orlando area, the Gundam podcast. Some very nice people. Their website is gundammahq.blogspot.com.
And that's G-U-N-D-A-M-N, like, damn it.
Yeah,
not
Gundam.
Like, not Gundam.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably the pivotal anime podcast for Mecha. So if you happen to be a Mecha addict, then this is probably the place for you to get your fix on everything Mecha. And they have a very well put together podcast, and we're actually going to do a crossover with them in the future. So I think on September 13th, Valentine and I are going to go on their podcast and have and discuss with them the world of Mecha anime. And then later on, they will be coming on our podcast. So you have that to look forward to.
And with the trivia we mentioned, go onto the main webpage, aapodcast.com, like Mitsuki said. There's a picture, and it links to other things with the trivia on the forums. All you have to do for the trivia, as a reminder, join the forums and private message Mitsuki on the forums the answer to the question. And, I mean, not many people are entering or joining the forums, and I don't know why, because we're literally going to mail you a free anime prize. Just for, you just have to answer anime trivia. And you get free anime stuff. So.
The question today was, this week was very easy. It was the name of Spike's ship from Cowboy Bebop, and the answer was Swordfish 2.
Yep.
But...
and we would have even taken Swordfish.
Yeah.
Probably. But only one person attempted the question, and they didn't get it. So, unfortunately, nobody gets the question this week, and so, yeah.
But there's 2 more weeks.
Good luck, everyone. The new question will be posted probably sometime tonight or tomorrow. But with that, that is the end of the podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed it. The theme that we'll be carrying you out tonight is called Crawl by the artist Velt Punch, and is the ending theme of Nabari no O. So, have a good night.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. 風たこを煮潰さそうな日々針のような目もやんで君が来た。チャラ I see for you チャラ I see for you チャラ です。